So here we are. We're coming up on the end of September, which means that the fourth quarter is going to be starting shortly. Now, under normal circumstances, we would have to pick up the pace. But now, with this year that we've had with the pandemic, every minute, let alone every second, is going to count. So today we're going to talk about how to maximize your time in the fourth quarter. My name is Paul Castain from Castain Training Systems, and I'm the author of the YourSalesPlaybook.com blog and your host for the Sales Playbook Podcast. I've personally trained over 30,000 sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners to sell more. So get your playbooks ready because school is now in session. This episode of the Sales Playbook Podcast is brought to you by our brand spanking new webinar, and it's called 25 Ways to End This Crazy Year Stronger. It takes place on October 1st. I'll be talking about it at the end of the podcast, but if by chance you aren't in the car and you're able to do so safely, if you'd like to go check it out now, feel free to visit yoursalesplaybook.com/strong. So here we are, folks, and this year, first of all, it just flew by, and I was actually out in the backyard before, and I started to say sitting in the yard. I wasn't sitting in the yard. I was actually busting my ass in the yard doing some yard work, and I'm one of those idiots who mows his own lawn because I enjoy it, and I don't know, maybe it's the only manly man thing that I do. Because I'm basically useless when it comes to being handy around the house. So that's kind of my contribution in the manly man area. Anyway, so I'm outside and I'm thinking, wow, this summer really flew by. But then I look at this year, and not only has it flown by, but it's been crazy. But here we are. It's almost the end of September. And what that means is that we're about to begin the final quarter, the fourth quarter, and the final push. So really, when you're coming up on the fourth quarter, and feel free to say duh when you hear this, but I think we all need a gentle reminder from time to time, but really every minute counts. But every minute really, really, and just for extra dramatic effect, really counts when there is a pandemic going on. So, you know, our day-to-day has to be as laser-focused as possible. Again, especially under these circumstances. So, some of the ideas that I'm going to talk to you about today are going to borderline on, oh my gosh, man, he's really being obsessive about this. I really am. And I will, you know, gladly say guilty as charged, only because it's a different year. This isn't your typical year. We've lost a lot of time. There are many of you who had periods of time. Well, first of all, some of you were furloughed. Some of you had situations where, 6 to 8 weeks, the people you were calling were shut down. Other cases, maybe you felt a little funny calling them during that time, so you lost time there. But even now, I was going to say, as we speak, we're not speaking, I'm kind of talking at you. But even now, as I'm talking at you, a lot of us are still hearing, well, you know, why don't you call me back in a few months when we get a better idea where things are going with the pandemic. So a lot of time and a lot of momentum was lost. So really, we're going to have to become just a lot more obsessive about those little minutes here and there, because they really add up, especially by the end of by year end. And I'll give you a couple examples of how some little innocent things, when we multiply it by, as of this podcast, as of the recording of this podcast, about 11 weeks, I figured, between now and year end, There's actually a little bit more time in there, but I'm thinking, okay, that week between Christmas and New Year's is lost in many cases, and we're hugging our kids and hanging out with our family. So, you know, if you want to count that week, you got 12. But I'm thinking we've got, and it's only going to emphasize my point more, but I'm multiplying everything that I tell you today by 11 weeks, and you're going to see some dramatic time loss. And you're also going to see some dramatic room for improvement. So why don't we get kind of down to business here? So everything, every minute of our day-to-day, just in general needs to be doing this. But again, it's year-end, and we have this pandemic going on. So we need to be obsessed with three things in sales. And I always refer to them as the three drivers of sales success. These are the three things that drive our results. These are the things, and again, it may vary a little bit by role, but for the most part, we're really graded on these three things. Hunting business, right? New account acquisition, bringing in brand spanking new business. That's number one. Number two, retaining. And in the same breath, I'd have to say wowing. So retaining and wowing the business that we have. We don't want to just protect that business and keep that business. We want them to absolutely want to rename their children after us so that we can move on to the third driver, which is growing the business. So getting new accounts is one way of saying hunting business. So getting new accounts, retaining, keeping, wowing those accounts, and then finally growing those accounts. So every second of our time between now and year end needs to be focused to the point of obsession. Now, again, you might be thinking he's being really dramatic this week. There's really no room to F around, folks. Other years, if you've been listening to me, I always say, yeah, you have to be obsessed with those three drivers. But here, I'm saying that you have to be, you know, if I was standing in front of you, I would be saying, well, here's obsessed. And then I'd raise my hand another 7 feet, stand on a ladder. And you know, like if I could remove my hand and put it on a device to go another 100 feet in the air. And here's where you need to be this year. It is really that dramatic. So how do we do that, though? So it's very interesting when we look at every minute counting. When we look at the things that take us away from the three drivers, usually we lose our day a minute at a time, 2 minutes at a time, 5 minutes at a time. It's usually, yes, there are some things. Wow, I lost 45 minutes on that. But for the most part, if you really look at your day, it's a collection of 1, 2, 3, 5 minute types of things that include interruptions. I think procrastination is a big time waster. And whether we're doing it because we're scared or we don't feel like doing it right now, whatever, but we lose time there. So far, we've got interruptions, we've got procrastination, but also just flat-out time wasters. And there's just a whole laundry list there if we were to look at the things that waste our time. So I want to give you a few ideas to help you and to help you liberate your day. So the very first thing that I want you to think about is the interruptions piece. And if you've been listening to me for a while, you know that I love to talk about the study done by Basic. Here, I'm trying to think. Conservatively, I've mentioned this study 100 times on this podcast. Seriously, I mention it a lot because of all the things I share. This has to be one of the most dramatic things. This has to be one of the biggest opportunities we have, because when you hear this, you're going to realize that more than 25% of our day, or specifically, in this case of the study, Basics found that we lose 2.1 hours per day to interruptions. So let's get even more dramatic here, because I told you we're going to look at this times 11 weeks between now. Again, today is September 20th, in case I didn't mention that before. But we have about 11 weeks between now and year end. You will lose 115 and a half hours to interruptions. Again, this is average. Again, your mileage may vary, but we have a lot of interruptions in sales. But you will lose, on average, between now and year end, 115.5 hours. Do you know that if we just added another 4.5 hours to that time lost for interruptions, we will have lost 3 weeks even? That is substantial. And I mean, there's nobody in their right mind, right, who wouldn't look at that and say, oh my God, man, that is substantial. But just in case you think that that's not substantial, come visit me again the last week of the year when you're almost at a photo finish where you could win President's Club, you could qualify for a bonus, you could be higher in the rankings, and you have a few people that are kind of going MIA, and you know, you have some people ghosting you and taking their time. Maybe we'll wait till next year. They're playing hardball because they know you're in sales and it's year end. Come see me then, and let's have that conversation. If I said to you, oh, by the way, you can have another 3 weeks, you wouldn't say, yeah, but it's only 3 weeks. Piss off, Castain. You would gladly take another day at the end of the year. This is 3 weeks that right now, right this second, you can do something about it. So 115.5 hours between now and year end. So what can we do about this as far as the interruptions? Well, one of the things that you can do, and this is another thing I talk about here, is try to get some of your prospecting activity in before game time. So especially if you're working from home and maybe there's kids involved or significant other. Heck, I had at one point here, just about my entire family was home working from home, or my wife, she was the first one of us to get COVID, by the way, and she was here for 3 weeks. She couldn't go back to work, obviously, and she was sick. Then I was sick with it for a little bit, but we had four of the five of us. The fifth one, my oldest at that point, was living in Huntington, so he wasn't here, but we had four of us in the house. My son was working right in the very next room to where I have the worldwide headquarters for Castain Training Systems. My daughter was furloughed, and she was downstairs. So I know a thing or two about interruptions. So what you want to do, if you can, especially if you're working from home or whatever, but even if you think about some of the other interruptions, phone calls coming in, emails, if you're in an office environment, coworkers. So you want to do some of this before game time, but you might be thinking, oh, great, Castain, what little time I have, you're about to trash it. Not at all. The formula that I've taught on here many, many times, and we just revised it recently, it's called the 2-2-2-3 formula. Now, I'm not going to really get into the 3 part of that formula, but right now I'm going to get into the 2-2-2 formula. So every single day, and just very quickly, if you've heard me talk about this before, I still want you to listen, because like I said, we just changed this formula. I just revised a very important part of it, mostly because of the pandemic, and I think things have changed a bit. So every morning before game time, what I want you to do is send 2 emails to 2 people that you're not doing business with. Again, we're going after fresh opportunities. This isn't a follow-up email or one to your clients. This is, I am hunting for a new piece of business type of email. Now, you're not going to say that in the email. Well, that would be dicky, right? But you can't do that. Just in case you didn't know. You were barely paying attention to me, and you're about to write, well, Castain said to do it. And then I get in even more trouble with you and your boss. Like I need that. Thanks, man. So seriously, you're going to send 2 emails to 2 people that you're not doing business with. Now, if you're doing this every single day, and if you're using even part of this as kind of a template It's really not going to take you long to do that. You can have it right while you're having that morning cup of joe. The second two is another type of email that you're going to send. This is different now. The other one I want you to do two of, this one is going to take you maybe 10 minutes. But remember, if you're doing these things every day, you get quicker at them. Your muscle groups get stronger. So you're a lot more efficient with this. So the second in the 2-2-2 formula is now going to be, I want you to do an embedded video email. What is an embedded video email? Well, what you're going to do, there's a free app and there is a free service. There's also a paid version, but I'm recommending you dip the toe in the water first and get yourself Vidyard. You can go right to your favorite app store and get it for free. Vidyard, V-I-D-Y-A-R-D, Vidyard. And what you could do with this, it's very simple to use. You shoot a very quick video that you're going to be sending to a potential client, not somebody you met with, not one of your existing clients. But for this 222 thing, you're focusing on fresh business, new account acquisition. You're going to shoot a 58 to 59 second video. You want it to be under a minute. Why? Because if it's War and Peace, who the hell's going to, I don't know about you, somebody sends me a 5-minute video, no thanks, I don't have time for that. Seriously. I don't. So you want to keep it under a minute. And you're going to kind of convey your message that way. That's going to be another form of outreach for you. The reason why I'm suggesting it is, well, first of all, even though I've been teaching this now for about 4 years, it's just starting to really get more popular now. But still, hardly anybody does this. It's not as many people as you think. There's a lot of people talking about it, but not a lot of people actually doing it. And our job is to stand out in sales. So one of our jobs anyway, right? So you use this little video app and you send it along. But the reason why I changed this one up, and it used to be two pieces of snail mail, but now I'm saying the embedded video. The reason why I think this is so powerful now is I think human-to-human communication is always important, but right now, during the pandemic, people not having as much contact, when they are, we've got masks on our face, we're socially distanced. I just think now more than ever, this human-to-human communication can give you a leg up, and I think there's no downside to you trying this, because what I'm outlining will take you 10 minutes out of your life every single day. So I want you to do that. And one other thing, what this app does, so you record it, and then you use the app, and it embeds it right in your email. Now, what I recommend that you do is you go on, you could go wherever you want, Staples, you go to your office supply place. I went recently onto Amazon.com, and I think it was $11 and change. I got this small dry erase board. It's like probably like 11, it's probably like an 8.5, 11 or something like that, and bought a dry erase marker. So now whoever I'm sending this to, I simply write, hi Dave, or hi Mary, or hi Bob, or if you were sending it to me, hey Uncle Paul, right? And I'm smiling and I have a wave right at the beginning and I'm holding the sign. That's going to be the image that gets captured. That's going to be just sort of the image that people are going to see until they click on the video. So imagine this, you're going through all, you're a decision maker. You have all these emails each and every day. And then you happen to see this email. And granted, let's hope that you have a catchy subject line, because that's kind of your first line of defense. They open it up and they see your smiling face, calling them by name, waving. You know, again, it's different. I don't think they're going to sit there and say, oh my gosh, this is the 50th one I've gotten today. It's going to kind of pique their curiosity a little bit. I think it's going to come across as a little bit different. And certainly more human. But that video, what's interesting, when you embed it into an email, it's kind of a speed bump. What I mean by that is that most of us, especially a busy decision maker, anyone who gets a lot of emails each and every day, they've mastered the art of scanning their emails very quickly, kind of scrolling very quickly to see if there's anything of substance there, anything of value. But now all of a sudden, there you are scrolling and you see somebody's smiling face calling you by name. It's going to stand out. So that's the second two in the 222 formula. So again, the first thing, you're going to send two emails to two people you're not doing business with. Then you're going to send two embedded emails to two people that you're not doing business with. But then the third one that you can do, and you could even do this one at, before hours. I wouldn't do it at 6 in the morning with a lot of people working from home. But what you could do is kind of at the tail end, again, if you work from home, this would work, or maybe during your commute if you could do it safely. But on the tail end of kind of the before hours thing, maybe, you know, around 8 a.m. or something like that, whatever that is in your world, right? Some people it's a little bit before 9 or whatever, but maybe in this case it's, you know, 8 or 8:30 or something like that. And you could then do the final two, which is to call two people that you're not doing business with. Again, that's the rule of thumb here. We're not doing business with them. And what you could do here, you might be saying, okay, but I'm not going to get them. All right, and this is why I'm an advocate of voicemail. Of course, I would rather get a live human being. But remember, I preach the concept, like my big philosophy here is that we embrace propinquity, which is nearness and closeness and kinship, and that we establish this bond that gets established when people bump into us in different places. They bump into us with a voicemail, an email, perhaps a text message over on LinkedIn. And for those of you who don't think that this is a viable philosophy or strategy or tactic or whatever, well, if you've been following me for a while, chances are you've experienced that nearness, closeness, and kinship with me, especially if you follow me also on other platforms. Perhaps you read my blog. Well, we're bumping into each other there. Over on LinkedIn, bumping into each other there. Of course, right now, some of you, you always tell me, you ride shotgun with me, Castaigne. You're in my car with me every Monday morning, and you've been there since, you know, 2010 when you started your podcast. So it's a very powerful concept. So that's one of the things that you could do. Now, this isn't your prospecting schedule. This is just to get some things in the bank before game time. Because I think one thing we'd all agree on is that once it's game time, phones are ringing, coworkers, Slack is going, text messages, you name it. And it could just get a little bit nutty. But now listen to this. If you follow this 2-2-2 formula and you follow it between now and year end, which is 11 weeks, you're going to be looking at about 330 more calls between now and year end, probably a little bit more than that. I'm not calls, I'm sorry, 330 more touches, if you will, because it's not just calls, it's emails and this whole idea of the embedded email. That's substantial. That's on top of anything else that you're doing. And this is allowing you to pick up the pace without going into an all-out sprint and, you know, you're ready to have a heart attack because you're just running too hard and too aggressive. This is a nice way to ramp that up. The other thing, too, is if you're dealing with a situation in your house where there's kids and, you know, it's just kind of noisy in the house, a lot of you are working from home or whatever. I know in a lot of places, certainly out by us, the kids now are back in school. I also know there's other areas where they're not. And then there's even kind of like these weird schedules that they have. Some days they're there, some days they're home, working from home. They're learning from home. So, you know, one of the things that I would recommend, and this is what I did at the beginning of the pandemic, I'm fortunate because I live in a quiet neighborhood. And if you do too, working from the backyard and the patio, as it starts to get a little chillier, one of the things I really enjoy doing is working by the fire pit. And what's very interesting about this, especially when I'm outside, and a lot of the time I'll do my coaching calls from outside, my clients always know when I'm outside, not just because, you know, they're hearing neighborhood sounds, but like I said, it's a quiet neighborhood, but because I'm a lot more relaxed. And I don't know about you guys, I enjoy sitting out on the patio. I enjoy sitting by the fire pit. And when we do things like that, we actually call that blending. We're blending something we enjoy with work. You're allowed to blend the two, especially now that work and life are blending anyway, right? That line has become blurred. So, you know, if and another thing too, if the kids are going off to school, it's really a good time to get some of those money activities in the bank while they're at school, especially if you're working from home, because, you know, the minute they come home, the interruptions now are going to start. So that's something that you can do. The other thing we've talked about a lot here is you really, you should always be doing this anyway, but right now there's no wiggle room. We were sucker punched this year, so we have to obsess over the minutes, even the seconds, right? We have to watch every minute, every second between now and year end. So we want to have that laser focus. So don't forget about something we talk about here all the time, this Pomodoro technique, where we set a timer and for 25 minutes at a time, and we focus on the task at hand. So let's talk about outbound calls. So let's say that you're about to go on the phone. You set the timer for 25 minutes. And what you're going to do, and by the way, you're not going to just do 25 minutes of prospecting, but you're going to break it up into 25-minute bite-size increments. So now you set the timer for 25 minutes, and you hit the phones. But there is a strict rule. You are only allowed to do the phones during that time. Same thing if you were doing, all right, it's my email time. Okay, that's all you do. Don't do anything else during that time. But in this conversation right now, we're talking about outbound calls. So here are my rules when you're following this Pomodoro technique. You're making outbound calls. You set the timer for 25 minutes. No inbound calls. No email. No checking the damn email. You're focused on dials during this time. No text messages. No pop-ups. No Slack. No talking with coworkers. No, you know, a family member's coming in during that time, unless it's a little kid or there's some kind of an emergency or whatever. You have to be focused on those calls. So that, when you do that, and you're able to have that laser-like focus and have basically 25 minutes of outbound calling activity, you will find that you get more done in that 25 minutes than if you did an hour with interruptions. Because when you get interrupted from what you're doing, it's not easy to just go right back into the task. In fact, there was a study, and I always confuse this. I want to say it was University of Southern California, one of these places that talked about it. I always have to look it up, even though I've shared this numerous times. But it takes on average about 23 minutes for us to get back on task when we're interrupted. Now, when I hear some of these things, I'm like, I don't know, man. That sounds kind of dramatic and kind of steep. But okay, yeah, I mean, what if they're full of shit? And they just needed to, I don't know, get some people on their website, so they decided to dramatize their idea. What if it's only 8 minutes that we lose trying to just get back into the groove of it? Still, multiply that by how many interruptions you get in a day, then multiply it by 11 weeks, and then pray to God that you get that time back, because you're not going to get that time back. So right now, awareness is going to be the first step so that we can stop this kind of thing from happening. So again, if you have this laser focus and you're not doing any inbound calls or Slack or text messages, no pop-ups, no social media, you're only making outbound calls for 25 minutes. And you may have to change your thinking, folks. Some of you, if you see the name of a customer calling, you're going to stop everything that you're doing. I'm not going to be in response mode all day. I don't even know how many clients I have. I mean, I'm sitting here, I'm like, I don't know, 300 clients or whatever. And not to mention all the people who attend my webinars and everything. It's a lot of people that if I allowed to get through to me and pick up my phone immediately, I would get nothing done. Now, you might be saying, oh, man, that's really disrespectful. I don't think so. If I'm doing a 25-minute Pomodoro, you mean to tell me it's disrespectful to make somebody wait 25 whole effing minutes? Seriously, I always talk about that. If I have a customer, I will promise you this, and yes, there are exceptions to the rule. If I have a customer who can't wait for 25 minutes and gives me shit for making them wait 25 minutes, they're not going to continue to be my customer for long. I am not kidding you. I will not put my day in a continual state of responding instead of being also able to be proactive. Now, I don't have my entire day that way, but when I do, again, 25 minutes, folks, it's really not a lot to talk about. So use the Pomodoro technique. Now, the next one, some of you are going to get a little uptight about, but and I don't think I've ever offered this at this time of year. This might be the first year that I'm talking about it, because if you've been reading my work for a while, if you've been listening to the podcast, you know that as much as I'm proud being a businessman and being in sales for as long as I have, I really dig being a dad. I really do. And I love it. In fact, I'm just happy as hell right now because my oldest came to his senses. And he's a management consultant, and he was chipping in on an apartment with, I don't know, it was maybe three other roommates, and one of them got serious with this girl, and they bought a place down in the Carolinas or whatever, and my son was doing the math, and he realized that if he came back home to live, and he stayed here for about 18 months or whatever, somewhere around there, with the money he makes, he could basically now move out again, but this time he could either get a house or get a condo, and that's a lot better than paying rent. And P.S., the kid's in his 20s. That's not bad, but I'm happy as hell right now that he's moved back home. So I love being around my family, but there is a time when we have to pick up the pace. And when you've had a year like we've had, we have to pick up the pace. So my suggestion is this, again, completely optional, but I would consider adding an hour on the weekends right now. If you want to do an hour both on Saturday and Sunday, make it 2 hours over the weekend, that's your business, but put an extra hour in over the weekend. And there's been many times that I've put in an extra hour on the weekend. And my personal rule for that, even though my quote-unquote kids are older now, my wife works crazy hours in a hospital, so she's usually not here in the morning. What I usually do is I get the work in the bank early. So this way, when they get up, I can be there with them, or even just having my weekend. That's kind of a nice thing too. But right now, with this year that we're having, we need every single second that we can get. And what I'd recommend that you do, again, do this early so that it's not really affecting your family or your weekend or your life. And you could use that time to do some of the research to set up your calls for the next week. You can fire out extra emails that we've been talking about. What you could even do is, how about this? How about doing some of those embedded emails over the weekend and saving them in draft and, in your drafts folder, and then sending them out on Monday or Tuesday, or pacing yourself during the week? That's something you could do. You could also, I'm a big fan of snail mail. I think even now more than ever, there's less noise in that channel and it's more personal. But here's the thing. You remember we talked about how all these things add up. If you were to put just one extra hour a weekend, you'd be looking at, by year end, an extra day and a half of productivity. Again, the key here is that it's productive. We're not just putting in the time to check a box. We're putting in the time to actually get things done and save some time next week, the upcoming week or whatever. So that's something that I would do. But again, in other years, I might have been a little hesitant to offer that advice, but we have to do everything that we can. This is not a year for any of the poor me shit. I'm going to be dead serious. Where, you know, oh man, you know, I really wish I could spend more time with my family and everything else. It's we're struggling to survive. And especially if that's you, if you are struggling right now and you really need to pick up that pace, get up a little earlier on a Saturday. It's not going to kill you. So again, I know there's exceptions to the rule, but most of us, it's an extra hour, folks. So something to think about. And not like we haven't taken an extra hour for ourselves here and there. Seriously, it works both ways. Now, the other thing that you can do that will save you a lot of time, and I just think this is good for all year round. Whenever you have a phone meeting where, okay, you know, do you have time for a call? Yeah, we'll talk Friday at 1 p.m. Eastern time or whatever. Whenever you have a phone meeting with someone, and with the pandemic, a lot of our meetings are by phone. Make sure you're the one making the call. And just get in the habit of saying, I'll call you. What's the best number for me to call you at? If it's your boss, I'll call you. Forget all that, you know, that hierarchy type of stuff. And it's the boss. They'll call you. Nope. You call them. The reason why is because it's real easy for someone to run a few minutes late when they're calling you. But it's harder for them to pull that when you're calling them. They will be quicker to cut an activity short when they see that phone ringing. That's their final reminder, right? As if they didn't have an alert on their calendar. But, you know, again, we're talking about saving a few minutes here and there. And I want you to think about something. How many meetings do you have a week? I'm talking internal and external, where it's like a one-on-one thing. It's with your boss. It's a coworker. Could be a vendor. Could be certainly a prospective client. It could be a client. And they are running late. And they're supposed to call you. They were supposed to call you at 1. Here it is. It's 3 minutes after 1. Now, it might sound like, wow, man, he's really being obsessive this week. Yeah? How many times has that happened to you? Multiply that 3 minutes by how many times that happens to you in a day, in a week, and then times 11 weeks between now and year end. I don't care if after doing this one little idea, you're only able to free up 30 to 60 minutes, which I would be incredibly disappointed if that's all you were able to free up. But let's say it's only 30 to 60 minutes. Don't ever underestimate how much you can get done in 30 to 60 minutes, especially if you use that Pomodoro technique. That's two Pomodoros of 25 minutes with a break in there that you're going to be laser-like focused on those three drivers of success. We're freeing up time right now so that we can put it back in the areas that impact our business most, which we said, we're getting new accounts, retaining, keeping, wowing those accounts, and growing those accounts. All right, so I want you to think about that as well. But the other thing too that I want, and this is where we're going to get into some serious stuff here. I want you, and not everybody has this, but there's a lot of people in sales that really, you really might have to change your attitude about Fridays and Mondays. So the thing is, and this is Sunday right now when I'm recording this, the thing is that there's a lot of people when it comes to Mondays. They've been in the habit, and when I say people, I've been this person. For the majority of my career, I was this person where Mondays, you don't jump right back in. You're shaking off the weekend, especially after the weekend I just had. Man, my son was moving back in. I had to clean up a bunch of stuff. We're all, you know, moving boxes. I had to lug a whole mess of bags of stuff downstairs out by the road. I was doing yard work. I was cooking for my in-laws, making our Sunday dinner here. All kinds of stuff that is in recording this damn podcast while we're on the subject. And Monday morning rolls around. Sometimes you need a weekend to recover from the weekend. You know, did you ever have a vacation like that? You have a vacation that's so damn good, you need another vacation to recuperate. But we've all gotten into this habit. Monday mornings, man, you shake off the weekend. If you're working with coworkers, what do? You talk about the weekend. How was your weekend? You multiply that by a bunch of people, and you're shooting the shit, and you're talking about this, and you're talking about that. Or maybe what you do on Monday mornings, you have this ritual that you do. You do some of your administrative things. You're catching up on your emails or whatever. You know, that's all well and good. But do you know most of the people that when they first come to me for my coaching program, they're losing almost their entire Monday morning to that? So I'm all fine with that, 30 minutes, maybe even the first hour. But to trash half a day because, oh, and let me just add the best part. Most of the time when I press them further, this is what I hear. Well, prospects and clients really don't want to hear from you first thing Monday morning. You know what I say to that? I say tough shit. Seriously, I do. I'm not calling a charity. I'm not calling somebody who's donating their time. They are an employee. They are on the clock. They're getting paid to do a job. So I'm not going to apologize for calling somebody, heaven forbid, on a work day. I'll apologize if I call them on a Saturday, which I'm not, or a Sunday, which I'm not. You know, 10 o'clock at night on their personal phone, I'm not going to do it. But you guys get the idea. But I'm going to feel bad for actually being, you know, the dumbass who actually works on a Monday? No, I am unapologetic about it. But by the same token, I'm not calling them 8:30. I'm right in their face. 8:30 a.m. There we are. You want to buy sales training? Come on, man. And I'm putting a heavy duty pressure sales pitch on them. No. Take the first hour, get caught up on your stuff, then hit the ground running. Because if you don't, remember we said these little things add up? 4 hours a week times 11 weeks, 44 hours. You're going to lose a week. You can't afford to lose a week ever. But this year, no effing way. Completely, completely out of the question. Let me throw another one at you. We have the same thing going on with Fridays. And it happens when? Right about after lunch? We start to mentally check out after lunch. And back in the day when we were going to offices, I mean, how many times has this classic been pulled? Yeah, I got a meeting at 3 o'clock. Not going to be able to come back. And you know where that meeting is? It was at a bar. It was with your wife, you know, before the kids come home or some shit. Hey, that's your meeting. But it adds up. And also, too, I'm not saying that, hey, we're completely slacking. Some do. Right? And I've been that guy. But also, too, it's this mentality that, you know, people don't want to hear from a sales rep on a Friday afternoon. That one I say bullshit to also, because I find that prospects are in a lighthearted mood, because now they're getting excited because they have a few more hours. They're going home. They're thinking about the weekend. They're in a better frame of mind than somebody who's completely overwhelmed. So, you know, I disagree with that whole notion that Friday afternoons aren't productive. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be productive at 5 to 5 on a Friday. I'm saying, why would we possibly shut it down after lunch? So if you're taking lunch 12 to 1 or whatever, from 1 o'clock on is nothing. That's 4 hours of lost time. Or some of you say, well, you know, during that time I update Salesforce and I do administrative work. Folks, in a normal year, I would argue that you really can't afford to do that on a Friday, especially when you multiply it by, what, 52 a year? That's a big loss. But in a year where we've had a pandemic and you've already lost time, why would you embrace habits that have you continuing to lose time? So, by the way, now, if you're writing off Friday afternoons, that, if it's the whole afternoon, 44 hours. That's another week. So you add that up with the Mondays, half a day. I'm not going to get really going in the morning, right? Shaking off the weekend. Nobody wants to hear from me anyway. I'm going to do some of my administrative things. Then I've got the sales meeting. Then I got this. Then I got to get the TPS reports. Speaking of which, I got to do my damn expenses. That's a great time to do it, Monday morning, right? Because there's no game time then. This isn't game time. This is just extended effing weekend time. Well, if then just doing the same version of that on Fridays between now and year end, you've lost over 2 weeks that you can't afford to lose. So I want you to be mindful of that, because again, it just adds up. The other thing too, I want you to change your mentality when it comes to holiday weeks. And what a lot of people have done in sales, and decision makers do it all the time. I certainly have done it in the past. I haven't done it for, it's got to be 15 years now. So I'm kind of like that recovering type of guy who's going to sit there and be real pissy about it. But meanwhile, he had a really bad problem with it. That's who's talking here right now. But you got to change your mentality with holidays. A lot of people tag on an extra day or two to holidays on the front end and an extra day or two after the holiday. I don't mean taking a day off. I think if you're going to take a day off, do it, man. You deserve it. Again, crazy year. And look after your mental health. I'm all for that. And I'm all for taking your vacation time. But if it's more like that mental checkout, almost like the Friday afternoon thing, or that dicking around on Monday morning thing, I see that with a lot of holidays. In fact, I always joke around, especially that week between Christmas and New Year's, or even that week here in the U.S. of Thanksgiving, and you know, Monday through Wednesday if you're going to an office, or even Monday and Tuesday going to an office. It's like The Walking Dead. People are zombies. They've checked out. They're just walking around meaning, just without any meaning. They're not doing anything. They're taking long lunches. They're shooting the shit. They're doing all kinds of administrative things. When it comes to Thanksgiving and that Monday through Wednesday, I can't afford to do 3 days of administrative stuff. Especially, again, this is my philosophy. It doesn't have to be yours. I believe that game time should be spent playing the game. Not talking about the game, not planning for the game, not doing administrative shit to support the game. Yeah, let's have all the players out on the field doing their paperwork and saying F the game. How ridiculous would that be? Right now, you're tuning into to one of your favorite football games, and you see they're all out there doing administrative shit. They should have done that before the game. Game time is for the game, especially in a year when we've lost a lot of time. So I want you to think about that. I want you also to think about what's going to happen with, you know, if you tend to mentally check out around the holidays every year. I've seen it start with some people right after Thanksgiving, but certainly by that second week in December, man, it is going full steam ahead. So I want you to just, again, be mindful of that and understand that every minute, every second counts. And some of you, you've already written off this year, and I understand it. I understand how you'd feel that way. I really believe that, first of all, there is some hope for us this year that's left. But even if you disagree with me and you have this crazy sales cycle and it's going to take, you know, the second coming here and a miracle to turn this around for you, well, get a jump start on next year. Look at it that way. Look at it as if, like right now, all the things that I'm doing are going to give me a jump start for 2021. You don't wait until January 1st to start on 2021. A lot of the things that we're doing right now will start to set us up for that. Plus, you don't know what 2021 holds in store for you. There could be a whole round two of this nonsense. I would rather go into a round two with a stronger pipeline than I had this year. And I'm sure many of you agree with me. So that's one of the things that I would do. You know, there's really two other things that I want to say to you. Is number one, I want you to be relentless when it comes to your time, especially this year. And yeah, I want you to obsess over it. And I want you to put as much time as possible on, because we're not looking to save time here and manage our time for the sake of doing that. We're doing it so that we have more time to do the things that we're graded on. Getting more business, retaining and wowing that business, growing that business. Now, a lot of people in sales love to say certain phrases. And these phrases, and we've all said them, are usually said when we're justifying our behavior. One of them is, well, you know, it's a marathon, not a sprint. In a normal year, you would be 100% right. Sales and the pace that we're running. I prefer a marathon because with the marathon, you're not going to burn out. But for anybody out there who thinks that this year with the pandemic is a marathon, my response would be, yeah, I mean, it's a marathon, not a sprint, but not when you're running for your life. I want you to envision, let's get a little goofy here. You guys know I like to go camping. In fact, I might squeeze in one more camping trip, by the way, just for shits and giggles. But imagine, I'm going to give you a sight. And it'd be pretty sick. This crowd probably would laugh at this. I want you to imagine me, and I'm not a skinny guy, man. I'm a fat bastard. Me getting chased down by a bear. I'm camping, and I've got a bear chasing me down. There I am, my fat ass, running. Running for my life there. Would that be a good time for me to say, you know, Mr. Bear, you know, it's a marathon, not a sprint. Yeah? I'm going to get mauled with that attitude. You run for your effing life. And I just want to come in and tell you this. You need to be running for your life too this year. Seriously. I love to kid. I especially love to brawl with all these people. They call it hustle porn. The people that are out there really boasting about how they're working this weekend while you're slacking. I hate those types. And by the way, I was one of the first people out there in my group of friends anyway, who was a fan of Gary Vaynerchuk's. And there was a point that I really pulled back because he was doing nothing but boasting. And he's calmed it down since, because a lot of people called him out, boasting about his 18-hour days and you should be hustling, you shouldn't be taking vacations. You know, this was a few years ago. And I thought it was asinine. So, and not necessarily him, just to be clear. But these people in general who love to talk about how there's no breaks and there's no vacations or whatever, that's idiotic. That is not a way to live your life. And also, too, if you live that way, a lot of the people who are most important to you, you're going to probably drive them out of your life. So, you know, we don't want to go to that extreme. But I also want to tell you that there are times in that marathon where we have to pick up the pace. And that's under normal circumstances. But then there are times in life where we have to run for our lives. And that's where we are right now, folks. So again, that's where we're at. And those are some things that you can do to sort of maximize your time between now and year end. Another thing that you can feel free to do would be to come join us on October 1st, because we're going to be talking about 25 ways. And I'm sorry, but I kind of like the title here. I think it's appropriate. 25 ways to end this crazy year stronger. Now, one of the things that I'm going to be doing different in this webinar, aside for some really solid ideas that I have for you, where you should focus your time, how you can get more revenue coming in, increasing your referrals, things like that. But the other thing that we're going to do is, you know, we've got to run a little bit harder and a little faster, and we've got to have that little push between now and year end. So what I'm doing for everybody who joins the webinar is I'm going to give you an accountability partner. And it's going to be someone else going through the webinar, because I don't know if you guys are like me, but I've gone through webinars and I've gone for courses. And while it's going, it's been wonderful and my pen's going and I'm nodding my head and I'm feeling like $1 million. But then when it's over, sometimes I don't take the action that I'm supposed to do. And that's the part of the equation I found that I can't make you do. When you're there with me, I can get you guys all motivated. I can give you lots of great ideas, lots of action items, but it's harder for me to get you to do the work, especially when I have 300 people in a webinar. So what I've started to do with some of my webinars, this will be the third and final time that I do it this year, is I'll pair you up with someone else who isn't a competitor, Many times it's someone else in a different industry, in a different neck of the woods. I'll pair you up with them so that you guys hold each other accountable. There'll be certain assignments that you guys will be doing. You'll check in with each other once a week to make sure that you're each doing the work. And again, you're taking the action. So that's going to be one of the things that we do different. So if you'd like to learn more, I want you to visit yoursalesplaybook.com/strong. yoursalesplaybook.com/strong. With that, I'm Paul Castain from yoursalesplaybook.com. I am wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get them. The Sales Playbook Podcast is a Castain Training Systems production. Sign up for our free sales tips by visiting yoursalesplaybook.com/subscribe.